People can burn up to 5,000 calories a day just sitting in a chair.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Thank you for joining me for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Today I'm joined by Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. In case you're new, Christy joins me every other Tuesday for a discussion to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Be sure to check out the first two episodes of this series, both of which are part of our current holiday theme. They're episodes 19 and 21 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. Today, Christy and I are going to discuss mealtime tips and tricks for a happy Thanksgiving. Hello, Christy, and welcome to the show.
Hello, happy to be back.
It seems like I was just talking to you recently.
Right? Time goes by so fast.
I'm so excited to have you back for this series, and I think our first two episodes have been a great hit.
I think so, too. I'm really excited that we're able to put out so much useful information for people.
It's wonderful, especially during this holiday season where things are so challenging. So, So Christy, as I say in my article, Mealtime Importance in Alzheimer's and Dementia Care, mealtime is typically a fun and impressionable activity where many loving memories are formed, especially around the holidays. However, I think this is an opportunity that's so often missed by families because they aren't sure how to include a loved one who's living with dementia, or they try, but they just get it wrong. What do you think?
Well, I think as long as you're trying, there's always room to get it right. So I applaud everyone who's out there trying.
Exactly.
Fantastic. But I do think, especially when we're talking about, you know, like a Thanksgiving meal or a big Christmas meal or Hanukkah, whatever the big celebration is, it could even just be an anniversary or birthday, right? We put a lot of expectations on it and on ourselves. And so when we've spent an enormous amount of time in the kitchen trying to get everything just right, and, you know, cooking takes a fair amount of timing too, right? Mm-hmm. We sometimes forget that we have a person who's living with dementia right there with us and can forget to include them. And sometimes too, after spending a long time in the kitchen, your nerves can be a little bit jangled because you've been so focused on what you're doing. And sometimes, you know, your back hurts a little bit, and it would be good to just sit down and take a little break, and you have this person who maybe needs more attention. So we can get a little snappy with them, and rather than including them and making them a part of it, we kind of are looking at them more as a list or an item on the to-do list. And we don't mean to, but that's how we're coming off. So that's not great.
Probably another great opportunity for a buddy system, right? Where you got
you've
got somebody in the kitchen with you that's maybe just helping bridge that gap and keep both of you happy and engaged, if you will.
Yeah, right. So actually, yeah, a lot of times we think, oh, you know, if there are too many people around, then it's going to be really confusing for the person living with dementia. But this is one of those situations where the more the merrier, probably, if you're like one of those cooks who gets in the kitchen and is just really down to business, then please have other people in the house that can be spending time with your person and making sure they're having a good time and that their needs are met. And that they're getting the attention that, you know, they're going to soak up like a sponge. That would be great. If not, if you're a little bit more flexible, but are just looking for some new ideas, something to really consider is what can safely be done in the kitchen by your loved one. So are they still able to stir things? Are they still able to measure things? You know, so load the dishwasher for you, right? Or dry dishes. There's a lot that can be done in the kitchen that doesn't have to do with flame or knives. So if you can get help, fantastic. You know, have your loved one jump in and do that. Understand it's going to take them longer. They're going to need more direction and visual cues. But people love to be helpful.
True.
Whether and that is true of people living with dementia, and people love to feel a sense of purpose. So that's, and remember too, if we're talking about like your parent, this is somebody who probably has hosted this holiday meal for years in the past, right? So it's a big deal for them too. And to be able to feel a part of it and like they're contributing to it, that's going to go a long way to generating a lot of good feelings.
That's a good point. And I haven't spent a holiday mealtime with a person with dementia, but I have been around, you know, grandparents and stuff who did care and host for us all those years, but then because of a mobility issue or something, they weren't able to take the bull by the horns like they always did. And you could definitely tell emotionally it was really hard on them.
Yes. And it really comes down to how do we as a family handle that? So I had one grandma who did not have dementia. She had congestive heart failure. And so what she did was direct us. She sat at the little stool by the phone there in the kitchen, and she told us what needed to be done. And when I say she directed us and told us what needed to be done, understand these were very competent, very capable, very good cooks in the kitchen. Did not matter. I was just like, we're going to do exactly what grandma says. That's how it is. Because that was part of making it a happy experience for her. So she was well able to direct. So that's one thing that people can still do. I've also had holiday meals with other grandparents who were living with dementia. And so depending on where they are in the disease process, you know, it's going to kind of dictate how the meal is going to go, what your response to it is going to be if you want to make it really successful. And I'm sure everybody does. So, you know, one thing that is really helpful is making sure everybody's blood sugar stays stable throughout the day. Sometimes we get this weird idea like we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner at 6. And I've rarely met the person who is actually able to serve at exactly the time they say they're going to. But I do know a lot of people will say, oh, it's Thanksgiving, and that's kind of our food holiday of the year. So they won't eat anything all day because they're saving up for the big meal. Right? And in my family, actually, the traditional time is around 3 p.m. And that is saying we're going to have it at noon. And it lands the table at 3. And so everybody's like, noon, I can make it till noon. I'm going to skip breakfast. And this might be, okay, by 3 p.m., you have people getting a little squirrely. They're like Betty White in that Snickers commercial, right? You're just not yourself. So make a cheese platter. And this is something your loved one can help with too, right? You know, put the slices of cheese on the platter, the little hors d'oeuvres, the olives, the pickles, whatever. Have something for people to nosh on so everybody stays, you know, steady on their blood sugar. And then also think about seating. And that was something that you mentioned, Mike, with mobility issues too. Have your person in a place where it is easy for them to get up and down and, you know, get to the table. And if they are not able to transfer from a wheelchair to a dining room chair, make sure that there's room to accommodate that wheelchair. And that's really important. We need people to feel like they're a part of it and like they're not trapped or being talked over or around. And then you want to have them sitting next to a person who is A-okay with being their support person, at least through that meal. If you're the primary care partner and you have somebody else in the family that wants to do that, great. Take a break. Visit with the rest of the family and know that that person is just going to be completely devoted to your loved one to make making sure that they're having a conversation, that it is a pleasant experience, exactly like what it should be, that if they need help with cutting something or they need help with reaching something, great. They've got someone right there that's going to help them and support them through that.
That's a good point. And I can imagine that during the holidays, that picturing that, you know, 20 people around a table and kids off at the card table because there's no room.
Right.
And
absolutely.
You got a lot of family members that are eager to help, but a lot of those same family members probably have never been around a person with dementia. And while they may be wanting to help, they may not know how to properly help.
Right. So this goes to setting expectations. And in the ebook, Successfully Navigating the Holidays, I have an email template that you can use with your family to help set those expectations prior to the event. And so it lays it out. It's an actual email, lays it out, and gives you the reasoning behind each of the points that are made in the email. So you can take that language and change it and still follow those same principles, where you set the tone for what's about to happen and how things are different from the last time Cousin Joe saw Grandpa. Mm-hmm. And spell out for people what exactly you need from them and how it's going to be.
I think those email scripts are really awesome and invaluable. And I love there's one where you said something like, I hear what you're saying, but we're going to do what Christy says.
Right.
I think that's we'll put a link in the show notes for everybody to download that guide and help you make your holidays better. We're talking about, you know, I'm picturing the big meal, but there's so many other mealtime opportunities around Thanksgiving and the holidays, right? I mean, there's always leftovers, there's the smell of pumpkin in the air, there's all these other times that we can take advantage of and create memorable, loving memories too.
Right. And that takes a lot of pressure off of us when we shift the focus from this one meal has to be perfect, this one experience, this one day has to be perfect, and realize that, you know, life happens every day. Okay. And your loved one may know it's Thanksgiving or they may not. Right. They may be aware of that on the calendar or not. You can do this any day you want to do it. You can do the celebration how you want to do it. And that's one of the things I think it's so important for family care partners to remember, recognize, honor, respect yourself. Please respect yourself. You are living in the midst of this diagnosis too. You don't have the diagnosis, but you're living with it. So as the primary care partner, what's easy for you? What works for you? How can your family support you? Right. And if that means everybody else in the family goes over to Aunt Sue's and you and your mom stay home, fine. That's fine. And then you do a little, you know, the four of you have a little something the next day. That's totally fine. You get to decide. You get to create an environment the way that you need it to be for you and for your person who's living with dementia. You don't need more stress in your life. You're already dealing with a dementia diagnosis.
That's true. And Christy, you know, there's so many different aspects of the meal, right? There's stuff that can be prepared a day or two ahead of time, and then you have those opportunities to enjoy that time with your loved one and also reduce the pressure that you would normally have on the big day.
Absolutely. And you know, another fun thing to do that I think sometimes gets overlooked, but I love to do this, is look at recipes online. And, you know, if I see something that I think looks really good, I'll ask my husband, you know, hey, what do you think about XYZ? And, you know, the answer is always the same. I'm being social for my own benefit. He's always like, sure, that sounds great. But you can do that with your loved one. You know, a lot of these recipes at like recipe.com, they have beautiful pictures, and a lot of them have videos and how to prepare the dish. So, and allrecipes.com is another one. So you can see immediately like what all is going to be involved, how long it's going to take, and decide if it's something you want to take on or not. But you can look at those pictures too with your loved one and describe the dish to them. And does that sound like something fun? Or this kind of sounds like that pecan pie that you always made, Mom. You know, you can reminisce, you can just generate a lot of good feelings and have involvement that way too. A lot of times we just really think it's narrowed down to the kitchen and then the table, but it's a whole process.
That's true. And, you know, you're talking about in the kitchen, having them do what they can do safely, but and as kind of mentioned with the grandma, you mentioned just having her in the room and being involved and maybe talking about, you know, reminiscing about past Thanksgivings or their childhood.
Exactly. And then another one, and this is something that a lot of times will make people uncomfortable. So this is where that email template would really come in handy to notify the rest of the family prior. My grandma Anna, who had Alzheimer's disease for 19 years, she got to a point in the disease process where she did not speak in a way that it was easy for other people to understand. So she would string words together that rhymed, but did not make coherent sense as far as a communication vehicle, right?
Okay.
And that was just where she was in the disease process. Now, my dad and I rolled with it. Just, you know, my dad was really funny because he was like this with little kids. He was like with people with Alzheimer's. It didn't matter to him. He talked to everyone the same. So, you know, he just talked how he talked. Like, well, this looks like it's going to be a really good meal. I like how this smells. Do you like it? You know, so he's just having a conversation like everything's cool and groovy. And she loved that. Mm-hmm. You know, she loved him. She liked sitting near him because he just, you know, made an effort, made eye contact with her, talked to her through the meal. She could, you know, go on a 5-minute rhyme spree with me and I'd be like, great. You know, and I'd just be right hanging right in there with her and, you know, enjoying it, laughing, having a good time with her. So the point there is it's about the energy that you're bringing, right? And energy is really contagious. So people who don't know any better would probably take a situation like that where someone is rhyming or not making statements that make sense to them and would say something like, I don't know what you're talking about, or ignore them. Because they don't know what to do. And so one of my best tips is just hang in there with them. Look for the emotion behind the words, because when somebody is at that point where they're not able to verbally express, they're trying to say, they're going to act it out for you, or they're going to, you know, say the words that they do have in some way. But the point is this, they're trying to communicate with you. They think you're important enough to communicate with. So just mirror that back. You're important to me too. I love you. I'm glad we're together. Whether you say that out loud or it's just the energy that you're putting out there, enjoy that, because, you know, there comes a time when you don't get that anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't get the luxury of reaching over and squeezing your grandma's hand because she's gone. You don't get to hear the sound of that voice anymore, whether the words coming out of that voice are making sense to you or not. That goes away. So enjoy what you can right now and just put that feeling out there.
Good advice. And, you know, back to kind of what you've said before is set your expectations and plan, mm-hmm. and plan, and so that you can reduce the crises or the, you know, the meltdowns, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and there are just some concrete things that you can do too. And that's in the guide. So that's kind of the overarching idea is generating good feelings, right? Anytime we're together, whether it's a holiday meal or not. But in the ebook, the Successfully Navigating the Holidays, I also have a checklist in there, which is very concrete, for how to make meals better. And it gives you a head start. So start using this before the holiday meals and see what's happening. Because, you know, it's one thing to create great feelings during a meal, but the other thing that we need to be concerned about is our loved one eating? We don't want them to be losing a lot of weight, right? Mm-hmm. We want them to eat. We don't want them to get dehydrated, so they need to be drinking. And are they able mechanically to manage getting food from the plate or the bowl into their mouth? All of those types of things are in the meal section in the guide, and with a checklist of kind of how are you contributing to what's going on during meal times, and how can you do it differently? And so you're kind of assessing your own performance. And then there are some, I call it six do's and four don't, to help you make it a smoother experience. And just some common things that I see happen that we never mean to happen. Sometimes they just do. An example is a few years ago at a support group, I had a lady say, I'm having this problem. My husband's losing so much weight. I just don't know what to do. And so started talking to her, and we dialed down a little bit on what was going on. And it turned out for years, he'd been really domineering. They'd been married for about 50 years, and he had told her exactly what she would be cooking for dinner every night. And she did it. Then, when I met her, he was at a point in the disease process where he wasn't able to do that anymore and hadn't been for several months. And so she'd been cooking all these treats, to her were treats, that she felt she'd been doing without for years. One of them was liver and onions, which she was serving up 2 to 3 times a week and couldn't understand why he was losing weight.
Oh, no.
And I said, is he eating it? No. Has he always loved it? No, he always hated it. I could never have it. Okay, well, why would you think he's going to eat it now?
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, I thought because he has dementia. So that's just something that is really important people understand, is that taste buds die as we age, but preferences don't. So if somebody is always, if I ever develop dementia, I promise you, I'm not going to suddenly magically love hot dogs.
Right,
okay.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So little things like that are important to keep in mind. And sometimes our focus is on other things when we talk about meals, because it is such a big topic. So that's a really important one to know.
That story reminds me of a situation someone told me about where their loved one was in a care community and they weren't eating. And it turned out they had her mom on such a strict nutritional diet that they were trying to give her a bunch of foods that she just didn't like or wasn't used to. I'm not sure the exact reason. So her daughter started bringing in peanut butter jelly sandwiches and a Coca-Cola, and her mom instantly ate them and consumed it. So I think, the point there is, we sometimes try to overprotect to the point that we're kind of hindering the situation.
Amen. And it's funny because sometimes we're so far behind the eight ball that we think, oh, we're making all this progress, and we're not. I remember a lady years ago when I was running a memory care, who her daughter-in-law just came unglued on me during a care conference because the resident had gained, I think it was 5 pounds over 90 days. And, she said, when she lived with us, I had her on a very strict diet. Here, she's been here 3 months and she's already gained 5 pounds, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we got to the bottom of it. It had been a power struggle between the woman living with dementia, who was my resident, and the daughter-in-law and her daughter-in-law. It had been a power struggle for the 25 years the daughter-in-law had been a part of the family. Mm. Okay, you know what? First of all, when it comes to Alzheimer's, one of the things that we know happens toward the end of the disease process is people can burn up to 5,000 calories a day just sitting in a chair. They don't have to do anything because, again, the whole brain's being attacked, right? Everything's wonky. Mm-hmm. So think about somebody who sits in a chair and burns 5,000 calories.
Yeah, wow.
Do they need a whole lot of calories? They do. So, one of the things is a lot of times we try and make sure people have some extra padding headed down the home stretch so that when they do start burning through calories at that rate, they still have some padding because people are still mobile typically. They can fall and break a hip. We want them to have some extra padding if they fall, right? So there's a lot to it. Just kind of look at, is this a power struggle here or what's going on? And you know what? You can have the best nutritional plan in the world. If the person is not interested in the food you're serving them, it's completely worthless. It needs to be something that rings their bell. Food is one of the last pleasures people have. It's also one of the last ways that they exert control. And I have seen this numerous times where a person living with dementia will turn their head, they will clench their lips shut, they're done. And so we have to figure out, is it that they don't like the food, it's the wrong time of day, or they're done, meaning they're ready. So that's, you know, probably a topic for a different day, diving into that. But it is, food is really important, and we need to take a look at kind of our part in it too, and what we're doing to support the person.
So if mom or dad wants an extra piece of pumpkin pie and their sugar levels allow that, and or they want a cheeseburger instead of turkey, let them do it.
Yeah, I definitely am not advocating putting anybody into a diabetic coma. Do not get me wrong.
Right.
But short of that, yes, we're talking about somebody who already has a diagnosis of dementia. Why can't they have a damn cheeseburger?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, absolutely. And also, especially when we're talking about Thanksgiving, it's kind of universally known for its indulgent vibe, right? Everybody wears loose pants, so come on. An extra piece of pie, yes, go for it.
Right, but don't. I just had a vision of, I just published an article recently how appearance matters, and you just want to make sure you also maintain your loved one's dignity too, because I'm hearing about the baggy pants, and all of a sudden I pictured someone throwing a bib on their loved one, and I just think stuff like that should be avoided if possible.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a separate issue entirely. So when I'm talking about loose pants, I'm talking about stretch pants, but that is a great article on Together in This on the site there. And what an amazing product. And I can't remember the woman's name, but she calls it a draperon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it is one of the cleverest things I think I have ever seen. I think this is an amazing product. And I know that had it existed when my mom was taking care of my grandma those last 5 years, my mom would have snapped those up. Very, very good product. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I didn't mean to get us digressing there, but I just wanted to mention that we want to, you know, protect our loved one's dignity. And
always, and no matter the occasion. And
even if it is just around family, but it's very important. So Christy, as we wrap up this episode, do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
You know, I just think, remember that when it comes to holidays, you are doing or need to be doing as much to create a good experience for yourself as you do for your loved ones. So take both into consideration. Be kind to yourself. That makes you more able to express that to your loved one. And if you can have realistic expectations, bless you. You know, that's something to aim for. But I know it doesn't always feel achievable. But it is possible. And just create the happy memories for you.
That's good advice. And, you know, as always, Christy, it's an honor and pleasure to have you join us and share your expertise with our listeners. That was just another great episode with our conversation on mealtime tips and tricks for a happy Thanksgiving with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa.
Thank you so much. I just love the opportunity to be able to talk about all things dementia. It's my passion in life. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, please be sure to share this podcast with others so they too can have a happy holiday season. And don't forget to check the show notes out at togetherinthis.com/episode23. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.